and sometime down the road waiver pilot projects, or are they equal, or is one better than the other, or? This is the kind of question a senator should pose to a division director in private to find out what the answer is, but I really want to know, and we'll just do it here in public without knowing how you're going to respond.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis, that's great. I'm going to respond, and I'm also going to take the question, if I may, the liberty. I'm going to perhaps take my answer just a bit further. It's very hard because part of it's comparing apples and oranges. On the other hand, some of it's comparing apples and apples. In fact, this bill, part of it does what the jobs program does. The workfare component in HB 409 is the same as one of the components in the jobs program. Every unemployed parent family in the jobs program, and we have to have 40% of those who are required. They're not exempt because they're disabled or have kids under three in those. But take everyone who's really required. You bring down that pool. Those parents, two-parent families in the jobs program currently have to do exactly what the workfare component. So in one sense, this expands one component of the jobs program, which is workfare. It doesn't expand the components of the jobs program that we associate as being real effective parts of moving people toward work and giving them some training. So that part, we're comparing apples and apples, and money put here versus money put in jobs, in a sense, does the same. With the exception, I will say at this point, the last amendment to the bill before it passed the House was to require that the workfare component in House Bill 409 be contracted out. That then creates something separate, and when we went and costed what that would be, it added a significant cost where we would be doing contracting within the department, and the work would be done out by some contractors. So for that, it makes it different from the jobs program and, I think, more expensive. A piece of this bill that does something that we could never do under the jobs program, it does for the first time give us a waiver of the 100-hour rule, which is truly onerous and gets in the way. And as the discussion came up, I think perhaps your question earlier, Senator, that actually a waiver of the 100-hour rule is probably pretty easy and not a very expensive one. In terms of some of the expense for us, the earnings incentives, which we think are important, become more expensive because of the incredible computer programming that goes into that entire budgeting process and record-keeping process and monthly carry-forward. So the earnings become more expensive. I've wavered a little from the question in terms of would we get the same bang for our buck or more bang for our buck if it went into the jobs program? I think it's very possible that we would. What we wouldn't get would be an opportunity to test out some of this, which is what many people and Representative Hanley has said, wanting to look at how we make some changes to getting something different. I think my educated guess would be if we put more money into the programs in some specific ways, we could come out with the same net result. And where I'm going to stretch it just a little further is, frankly, it may not be the place, but what I'd like to see is give me the amount of money that's in this fiscal note, do away with most of the state rules and regulations in terms of that, and say, if you'll give me $8 million savings in 5 years, here's this much money in these years. And I think without big waiver projects, but just being able to fully staff, seek a few small waivers, upgrade the jobs program, put job search into the front office of every single DPA office without even making it mandatory, without changing federal, there's people out there that want to work, put some of that money into child care, some of that into transportation. I would, unfortunately, that doesn't follow the legislative process, it doesn't follow the budget, and it's not there. But kind of my opinion is this amount of money could do a lot. Back here, putting this amount of money into this program will deliver in the long run some benefits. And as I've said all along, one of the issues is the timing right in that? Will the federal government give us the leeway to do this within a time frame pretty consistent here? And that's a question none of us can answer, and it's the one that's left for you as you determine if you want to go forward or wait for the federal government.
My last point is, could you amplify or clarify on what you said about this bill represents, doing this through contracting represents a greater cost, so more of the money taken from people's checks will go into administrative costs for contracting than if you did it in-house through existing public assistance setup?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellis, yes, that is correct. That there, to the best of our ability to assess what it would take to do this, there is a higher cost to doing it, contracting it out, than to do it in-house, where a single caseworker is both determining eligibility and checking up on the workfare component, rather than a contractor taking care of the workfare, checking it, letting the worker know, who then has to process the case and sanction the client or not if they haven't done the workfare. That's one of the areas of duplication. The other is we need somebody in-house to operate the contract and monitor it and write it and set up the proposal in the first place, and then to have it. And then the other piece is that, frankly, for public assistance functions, I don't think we've ever found a contractor who would require as much productivity per staff person as we do within the division. And so we had to put more realistic standards when we thought of doing it outside of the division.
Thank you.
We're about out of time. I think we'll hold this bill over and bring it back soon. I'd like to have everyone take a look at this for those.
Mr. Chairman, could I bring to the committee's attention very quickly that is worth people thinking about?
Sure. Why don't you pass it out about overnight?
Okay.
Sure.
This is an amendment that those of you who've attended the Children's Caucus know Mrs. Hickel has come and promoted this idea of Alaska Healthy Families. It's a model from Hawaii. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. We can talk about it more later, but it's cost effective, and I have other facts and figures we can talk about when the amendments next time. But please look it over, and I'm hoping that it's not that we could avoid a polarized vote, but maybe it'll break down that way. But if people who are not of my political persuasion, if call up Mrs. Hickel and discuss this with her if you want to know more about it, because I'm offering the amendment, maybe it's going to turn out to be I should address about that, but I really believe in this, and I think you will too if you have time to look at it. And Mrs. Hickel's my character reference on this one.
Okay. Anything else before we adjourn? Senator Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if the others have the amendments that I've prepared. If not, we'll
distribute
these.
I don't know if these are in your packets, but
I will offer them next time. Distribute them now.
I've been
working with the sponsor, and as far as I know, everything in this packet that you're getting are things that we mutually agree on. And just my comment on the bill, I don't think it goes far enough, but I also recognize the political realities of vote counting, and I think this is a step in the right direction of putting more money in the pockets of people who need it and backing away from dependency on government. So I commend this bill and the amendments to you, and I hope that we can do it in a bipartisan way, as Senator Ellis suggests.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Not? Yes, adjourned.
Yeah.